views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
So welcome to Voices of Women. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving yesterday. And also that you made it to your destination safely and back home again. For those, I know there's lots of snow in some parts of the country, and in Washington State, we have concerns about flooding because it's like started rain really hard last night, and we had some rains earlier this week. So lots of concern about people being safe. And I have a special request today. Woman of Wisdom, as you know, I'm the founder of Woman of Wisdom. We're sponsoring a very special woman from Kenya. She was at our conference in February, and she's visiting Seattle right now. Name is Mary Omolo. And we're helping her raise money for her school that's in her village. She has grades 1 through 3 and needs funds to build grade 4 so the students, and many of these students are orphans from parents with AIDS, so they can continue their education. And her dream goal is to within a few years, have 8 grades so that then people can go on to higher education. And we all know how important education is. So you can help. We have a GoFundMe campaign. And all you got to do is look for Thanksgiving Turkey Challenge. And you'll see a write-up from Colin King about Mary and her school. Just go to GoFundMe.com. And search Thanksgiving Turkey Challenge. And we're asking people to give the amount they paid for their turkey. And we've already raised 2/3 of the goal. And we've envisioned this going way beyond the goal so many students can be impacted and their lives improved. So just look for the Thanksgiving Turkey Challenge on GoFundMe.com. And as a reminder, check out the Women of Wisdom Conference on our website, www.womenofwisdom. It's February 12th through the 16th. And, you know, I can't promise it won't be rain, but sometimes we have a kind of a warm February and a nice place to be in the country during the winter. Our conference is very unique in that you can attend any event. You can go to one, you can go to all of them. So you don't have to commit a full weekend or the cost of that if you can't afford that. And I want you to know we have the early bird specials. Most of them are the date the deadline is December 31st. But there's one particular one, which is for Jean Shinoda Bolin. That is December 1st, which is Monday. There's an early bird. You'll save money by registering for both her evening keynote talk and her workshop. So check that out, womanofwisdom.org. And now I'm going to continue my process of interviewing our amazing presenters who are giving us wonderful workshops, sharing their gifts with WOW. And I'll be doing that through February. Today, my guests are Galina. Sergeychik, and Erin McGoffin. Oh, she's laughing. Galina, she's giving a workshop Saturday, February 14th in the morning. It's called Brilliant Brain Gymnastics: Activate the Power of Your Creative Mind. So, Galina. Sergeychik is from Boulder, Colorado. She is a international scholar, writer, editor, coach, dancer, choreographer, and a yogini. She is the founder of an ecological nonprofit organization, and she's a mother. A committed social activist, Galina is an ambassador of women's affairs in higher educational institutions and ethnic minority groups, and is recognized with the Citizens of the World Award in 2006 for her continuing contributions to fostering social justice, gender equality, and inclusive educational strategies. And she's interested in resurrecting the village in our communities. And you can check her website out at galaedits.com, G-A-L-A, edits.com. So welcome, Galina.
Well, hello. Thank you very much for having me.
Yes, and I'm saying your name right, Galina.
You absolutely did.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know, because it was going, okay, is it Galina, Galina? There's so many ways to pronounce names. Well, it's a very interesting topic, you know, the brain gymnastics and our brains. I mean, we have a generation now of baby boomers, which are, you know, a lot of people in our country and around the world, who are very interested in this topic, you know, how aging and stress makes us forgetful. And so my generation, I'm in the baby boomers, we're often talking about when our brains go blank trying to remember a name or where they met somebody or a book, the name of a book they read. So I'm interested in your work in the brain gymnastics as a way to help us to re-energize our brain's neuroplasticity and creative brilliance. And that's the work that you do. So first, I want you to tell us how you became interested in the human brain and then working with brain gymnastics.
Certainly. Well, this is indeed a topic that, as I find, resonates with a wide variety of people, I guess, from a wide variety of life paths and across different age groups. It seems that brain sharpness, focus, speed of processing, ability to engage, interact at a certain level of efficiency and acuity is something that is quite appealing to a lot of us. And I have become interested in brain works after being injured in a car accident, which wasn't really a serious car accident. We rolled a vehicle, which ended up being totaled, but none of the passengers got hurt, not at least visibly hurt. And as time went by from that accident, I really didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it. I noticed in my classes, I'd be teaching on campus, opening up books and telling my students, well, how about you open your books on page? And I couldn't pronounce the page. And I'd go, excuse me, and so on. And that's when I caught myself realizing that something is wrong with my perception to interaction processing in my brain. And I've been working in neurolinguistics prior to this entire accident, and sort of part of my academic research was in linguistics and speech pathology, so I was naturally drawn to the process. I was able to observe it. And I have also noticed that some other little things didn't fall into place. Like you would all of a sudden, I would bump into familiar furniture corners or forget where I placed the keys and forget the numbers or what I scheduled for a given day. And of course, I couldn't quite allow for that to happen in my life since I had so many responsibilities on campus and before other colleagues. So I just had to make way to fix it. So I found one of the best language pathologists in the area, Marianne Keedley, who likewise has a PhD in the field and actually is one of the most phenomenal people who one could rely on for a brain recovery. And she is graciously guided me through some of the most amazing work that I've experienced. And so ever since being stuck in front of a page and not being able to pronounce the number that I was looking at and received letters from my doctors who would just request that I slow my process and, you know, delayed graduation to 2 years and to 3 years, I was all of a sudden able to retrain my brain back to its capacity and perhaps beyond its capacity from before the accident. And I was able to read about 17 books in a weekend, all in different languages, with notes that have been since used by colleagues. I've remastered brain sort of speed processing through speed reading techniques. And since then, I've been so excited that this is possible that I just felt compelled to find ways to share this knowledge, and that's why I founded my coaching practice. And of course, I take all of these exercises and techniques to my classrooms as well to share with youngsters and then students, and I also teach for the elementary school. So whenever possible, I try to incorporate these techniques to really share it with the wider community, as I too am a product of the so-called cultural outreach. You know, it's been only 10 years since I've moved to the United States, and I'm definitely a product of a lot of help. I want to pass it back on.
Yeah, well, tell us a little bit about this brain training. What is it?
So the particular techniques that I use are sort of a, imagine a symbiosis or perhaps a fusion kitchen where you use certain old recipes and perhaps improve them with the newest knowledge of what makes your meal healthier, more beneficial. In the same way, the brain gymnastics approach that I use relies on diverse techniques that are rooted in neurolinguistic programming, emotional freedom techniques, speech pathology, cutting-edge neuroscience findings, contemplative education, or so-called experiential learning, and likewise various cognitive tricks that have been known to scientists for at least 50, 60 years by now. I mean, we have the phenomenal work of Norman Doidge in his publication, The Brain That Changes Itself, that basically lists most of the discoveries that we've been relying on in these fields, pretty much across all of the fields that I've just named, for the past good 60 years. And a lot of them is sort of hard to impress a knowledgeable audience with something entirely new. But at the same time, a lot of these techniques have not really surfaced to a wider audience and have not been implemented in, say, regular educational, traditional, I would say, educational environments. Perhaps more so in alternative universities, alternative educational programs that rely on experiential learning and contemplative learning techniques. So to name them exactly, some of them include...
Well, we'll come back and talk about what these different techniques are. This is Chris Danis, and we'll take a short break and come back and talk more with Galena.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Listen to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com/listen. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet yoandrew at andrewtweetgeo. Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at yoandrewnts.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. This is Christinas, and I'm talking with Galina Sergachik on the brain gymnastics, and she was just sharing some of the aspects about it, and we were going to talk about some of the techniques. So what are just a few basic tips of what people can do if they're starting to feel that kind of, I don't know what you call it, mental fatigue, or, you know, where we don't mm-hmm. remember things and we get frustrated, and how we can, you know, it's fascinating that you were able to bring this back to yourself. Now, you're younger, but you were able to bring back, and even sounds like even improve your brain function after doing mm-hmm. some of these things.
Yeah. And as I learned from my speech pathologist, Marianne Keatley, any brain injury is a brain injury, even if it's mild. And in fact, on CAT scans, they look almost identical to injured brain and the lightly injured brain. So whichever the one that one has gone through and perhaps experienced is definitely nonetheless leaving a feelable, noticeable change on the brain that requires attention. And first and foremost, any kind of brain, especially in our environment, requires rest. So any of these gymnastics, gym sort of call it brain acrobatics techniques, they are grounded in and then call for relaxation as first and foremost condition to allow your brain to relax, to open up, to incubate on perhaps things that you really are trying to solve or re-remember or break through that inner glass feeling of inability or self-doubt or writer's block, whatever it be for you. Brain requires relaxation. So as we know now that from contemporary neuroscience and something that we've known for centuries from our Eastern philosophical schools and mystical schools, relaxation techniques that come from meditative practices, deep breathing, unstructured play outdoors in particular, relaxed focus on an object, especially if it's an object of nature. So for example, a leaf or a flowing water stream or fire, relaxed focus of gaze relaxes the brain. And in the same way, creative visualization, as we know, likewise relaxes our brain. So if you don't have an ability, say you're in your office or you're on a bus, you don't have a way to really take a moment and enjoy nature, maybe it's pouring outside, as I hear it is in Seattle today, and it's not particularly conducive to taking a walk and really allowing your body to integrate in a relaxed flow of natural environment, we can imagine a space where we're at. And if we practice imagining our senses, experiencing our nature, and you can begin with something very simple, like imagining the smell of toast and your fantastic coffee if you're a coffee drinker, or a fantastic fresh clean glass of water, and how it's the sensation of what it feels like when it goes down this road. Imagining sensations and likewise visualization of natural environments literally relaxes their brain hemispheres. It's as though they transform into these fresh fish-like bodies. They just flop and relax. So for example, imagining a stream of water and a leaf falling down into the stream of water, and sort of you visually sort of bidding it farewell, allowing it to float away out of your sight, literally relaxes your brain. So perhaps I'll continue on to a few examples of what works for brain exercising after you've done some relaxing. And here I will sort of reemphasize the importance of contemplative practices, and those include meditation, deep breathing, relaxed focus, and perhaps some other more mobile ways of contemplative relaxation, such as dancing, something very soothing, swaying, singing, drumming. Perhaps you're just drumming with your fingers to a musical sort of riff that you're listening to. So after you've practiced some relaxation, you can move on to exercises. And as a practitioner of this innovative approach, I recommend involving your body in these brain activities. So whenever possible, if you're a lover of, say, something virtual and sort of computer gamey, such as Posit Science, for example, website has a bunch of those offered, and Lumosity is another good one. There's actually quite a bit of them online today. If you're a fan of those, I would recommend that you nonetheless get up here and there and close your eyes and perhaps walk around your own space if you don't have sort of an opportunity to go outside with your eyes closed and re-remember the map and sort of call on your senses and your feet, your hands, your fingers to re-remember the visual, the cognitive map of the space you're in. This is a great exercise that improves your balance, improves your orientation, something that we lose with age and something that we heavily depend on, especially if we want our hippocampus to be active during our old age and sort of resilient to stress. So maintaining better memory, better focus, sharper functioning. We want to engage our cognitive maps from various sensory inputs, such as our feet, our fingers, our skin. And one of the best ways to practice this is to walk around in your own space. If you can, if you have stairs, for example, try not looking down at the stairs, but rather use your feet to provide you with the sensory feedback to activate those maps. And it's one of the simplest ways to keep your hippocampus active and happy. And by the way, speaking of happy, happy brains, relaxed brains, brains that are trained to celebrate accomplishments and perhaps moments when we do remember or moments when we can focus and organize, however briefly, restructure themselves. So our brains celebrate and remember happy things if we focus on those happy things and happy accomplishments, happy sort of successful moments when the brain actually works for us. As we are hardwired to remember negative things, this is just in our biology and therefore physiology of the brain, our chemistry is to remember negative experiences almost instantaneously just because our life can be dependent on remembering certain circumstances or a certain smell, an environment where it's fight or flight, you know, survival depends on. But positive experiences, on the other hand, and especially positive cognitive experiences, need to really be celebrated and remembered and sort of marked with this happy grin, perhaps a jump, so as to create new neural pathways that really stick. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay. So in order, and the neural pathways for happiness to stick instead of attaching ourselves to the negative, which we tend to do more.
Right. Absolutely.
And if we want to change our life and have happier lives, we need to change the neural pathways for that to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And for example, I just want to bring in some of the luminaries here of the work. Remember Candace Port's famous book, The Molecules of Emotion? And Deepak Chopra wrote an introduction to it, a foreword, where he celebrated this moment when all of a sudden a Western scientist was proving and demonstrating how at our very chemical sort of molecular level of our bodies, we have the structure in place that is hardwired to be happy, to receive happiness. And Candace Pert found the most concentrated amounts of happiness receptors, she calls them neuropeptides and receptors, in our brains. So apparently our brains are hardwired to experience happiness, but we need to practice our focused attention and celebration of those moments to really use those connections, those hardwirings, right?
Yeah, and I want to ask you in our last couple of minutes, because one of your passions is restoring the village in our communities, and how that relates to this brain work that you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, absolutely. Well, perhaps I'll give you a little quote of something that I heard over a dinner table over Thanksgiving just yesterday. It's a shared experience from your generation, the baby boomers. And we go, well, I remember when I was a kid, I remember asking my dad, hey, Dad, what do you want to be when you grow up? And the dad goes, well, I want to be a cowboy. And then the girl, who's now a mom of three, shares, well, then I guess I'll never be a rock star because mom wanted to be a ballerina. And then, of course, everybody laughs. And it takes me a moment to realize that, oh, she's talking about the unfulfilled dreams. All of us have dreams of who we want to be when we grow up. And And then we share them. We also ask about them with, you know, ask our parents, we ask our friends, we ask our grandparents. And it is something that the sort of envisioning of the self that we model on our communities, on our immediate family, on our village, that happens to have a profound imprint on our cognitive experience and co-creation of the universe around us. As we know from neuroscience and quantum physics by now, our thoughts structure reality. And in the same way, our ideas about what is possible and what is not possible that we inherit and we question, we ask for those answers from our family, our parents, our aunts, our extended families, our village, our schools. The possibilities and impossibilities, they feed in greatly into what is possible for an individual and what is possible for community. So for me, it's been a passion and then sort of the work of heart for many, many years to create the possible, to perhaps breathe in the what if I never grow up, or what if I don't really know who I want to be when I grow up, and what if I want to change that? What if there were a possibility to still learn something new? And in fact, we know from neuroscience that learning new skills, new musical skills, new language skills, new playful skills, for example, if you want to, you know, learn some strange game from some strange ethnic group, it actually creates new neural pathways, activates your brain in very creative, soothing ways, and therefore slows down your aging, just as meditative practices would, you know, slows down the die-off of the telomeres on your DNA's end. It's fascinating
Yeah, it is. And I'm going to have to, we're going to have to close now. But, you know, that's an excellent place to close. And what we're talking about is making a better world for everyone. And, you know, one brain at a time. Work our brains to make that happen. Well, this is Chris Danis, and we're going to take a short break and come back and talk to another A Woman of Wisdom presenters, and check out Galena's workshop on February 14th, Brilliant Brain Thank Gymnastics.
You. Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
If you look on the back of a Galeos dressing label, you'll see one taste and you're hooked for life. And you know what? That's the truth. I love this stuff. Try mixing the Caesar dressing with broccoli and sunflower seeds for a simple and delicious salad. Visit GaleosCafe.com and order your dressings online. That's GaleosCafe.com.
Always inspiring and uplifting, Brenda Thine spreads love and light wherever she goes. Enlightening, empowering, and encouraging readings, Brenda connects with your guides, angels, fairies, and loved ones who have crossed over to provide you with the highest guidance possible to enable you to live your highest truth and maximize your potential. Always light-filled, a session with Brenda will have you feeling wonderful, centered, and ready to take on anything. Schedule your session now at BrendaThine.com. That's Brenda, T-H-Y-N-E.com.
Get sophisticated with David and Philip Zarza. David and Philip touch on topics such as human potential, spirituality, pop culture, and purposeful living. Experience an insightful reading from David on what the universe has in store for you, or reconnect with a departed loved one. Philip can look into an issue or anything else you may be dealing with. Go to GetSophisticated.com. That's SOPHISTIGAYTED.com or call 206-420-8660.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Pat. I know you've heard my friend and colleague, John G. Sutton, on my show. Well, guess what? He is now going to be a regular each month. I know many of you have experienced John live on air and how absolutely incredibly accurate he has been. So guess what? He's going to be joining us every month. For those of you that want to find out more about John and schedule your amazing session, go to psychicworld.net. Don't forget to stay tuned and tune in for John G. Sutton on the Dr. Pat Show every month.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and now I'm going to be interviewing a second presenter at Woman of Wisdom, Erin McGaughan.
Hello. And,
hi, Erin. Well, I'm going to give you tell people about you first, and then we will chat. Erin founded and coaches a network of 200-plus diverse artists in the Pacific Northwest, and she's the music director at Seattle Unity Church. She writes, consults, and publishes for several New Thought organizations nationally. She's an active, award-winning singer, songwriter, and recording artist, professional voice, and performance coach with 20-plus years' experience connecting and empowering artists. And you can check her website out at erinmcgaughan.com, and that's erinmcgaughan.com. Or you can find her on our Woman of Wisdom website. She's doing a workshop Saturday, February 14th. It's called Make Me an Instrument, Artist in Service. So welcome, Erin.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah. So first I wanted to have you talk about your big aha of when you knew you're going to be playing in this field of art and music, particularly, and also when you saw the need to help others claim their artistic gifts through your work of, you know, coaching and your network organization.
Oh, great questions. Well, the awareness of sort of being an artist, I don't remember a real aha. So it's one of those things where you just kind of are. And it's more an awareness of, hey, how come everybody else is normal? What are they doing? It's, you know, like when you really are just a little bit left of center, you don't have to strive to be left of center anymore, or you don't have to sort of call yourself, I'm a hippie. You just are a hippie, or you are that thing. So I don't think I've ever had a moment of aha. I've also been a multimodal person, so I've bounced back and forth between one art and another. And I think that was more the awareness of myself as an artist is, am I going to be a dancer? Am I going to be a writer? Am I going to be an actor or a musician or something like that? So I fascinated myself with that question rather than am I an artist or not? And then the second part of the question was about becoming aware of service. Because I did spend so much time in theater and it's so self-oriented, it's fun, it's marvelous fun, but it's so self-oriented that eventually that became almost an oppressive self-obsession. You may have had this experience, and I know a lot of people who work in the arts, especially the performing arts, have had this experience of just getting sick of yourself and not really finding anything that you do worthwhile, having that kind of crisis. So that definitely was an aha moment, and that became my big thing of like this is what can salvage. Salvage my whole experience of humanity is, hey, maybe I'm not just doing this just for me. Does that address what you were asking?
Yeah. Well, that idea of being in service, of knowing this is greater than you, you know, that whole self-absorption of who we are and what we're supposed to, we kind of do that in our 20s and 30s of trying to carve it out and then we start questioning, you know, why are we doing this? What is this here for us? What are we supposed to do? So first I want to talk, because one of the things you state is artistic freedom is a birthright for everyone. And let's mm-hmm. talk about that. Because some people don't think of themselves as artists. You know, I'm just a grocery clerk.
right. So it's like not thinking of yourself as breathing, you know, and the fish not being aware of the water that it's in. And I call arts part of what I call human birthright activities. So there are a lot of different human birthright activities that, depending on how we grow up or where we grow up, we decide not to be a part of. Like, I think sports is a human birthright activity. It's the type of thing that every nation on earth is going to have that. If people are left alone on an island, they'll just start doing it. They don't even have to be taught to do it. They're going to start playing some kind of sports game. However, in our culture, we sometimes pull ourselves away and say, no, that's for other people, and I don't get to do that. And so we do that with all sorts of activities, birthright activities. I consider worship, spiritual worship, to be a birthright activity, but in our society we tend to turn these things into kind of hot potatoes. And so let's see, arts, all of the art forms are birthright activities, and these are things that people will just go ahead and do. And in our culture we sometimes create this barrier that says you are one and you over there, you're not. And then we have great television shows like The Voice and competitions where we decide, we create a whole system to decide who is and who isn't. And it's sort of evil. It's sort of evil. It's very evil. I don't like it. I like the idea that we all have a right to do these activities. Does that address what you asked?
I think a lot of us, well, we just don't think of ourselves as artists because there is this ranking, like that perfect artist who, you know, that beautiful singer, the great voice. And so we don't honor our own. Well, we all have a voice. Whether we may not sing on tune doesn't mean can't be artistic about it. So, you know, haven't even been at a show where someone is off tune or like a karaoke or something. Mm-hmm. And they're having the most fun. They're not in tune, but right. They're, you know, they're in passion. They're loving what they're doing. And the audience then is with them, is like applauding them for even trying, you know, getting up there on the stage.
Yeah. The arts are so soft in terms of communication that it's, we can fool ourselves into thinking that there's a real thing there. We fool ourselves into thinking that there's a real thing called genius, or even that there's a real thing called being in tune. And it's really just a matter of, are we communicating from one person to another? And that's so arbitrary and so contextual and time-based, and it has lots of different facets. So the what you're getting by watching that person who's out of tune, because you're open, you're seeing that person's face and you're open to them on a human level, but someone else who might have grown up in a different situation might be so distressed and so freaked out that they're out of tune that they literally wouldn't be able to see the person's joy, certainly wouldn't be able to feel the person's joy or be infected by it, because that person might have been so acculturated to the idea that you have to be in tune or you're going to be thrown out of a cave for the night and you might freeze and die. And so it really is so contextual. One of the things I talk about is when I work with artists, because we do a lot of really deep talking and unpacking these ideas of some people deserve to and some people don't deserve to, and what does it mean to be in tune or out of tune, or to have talent or not have talent. They're really, really dicey issues, and I like to remind them that nobody dies. In the arts, when we screw up, it's not like brain science, or it's not like brain surgery or rocket science. It's not even like driving a bus. If we mess up, nobody dies ever, and yet we act as though somebody's going to. We get our hearts race, and we get judgy over other people as though it had a real impact and value, as though the fact that that person's ability to sing saved a life or something like that. Whereas, like when you compare our reactions, it doesn't particularly make a whole lot of sense. So that's, I go along with, yes, we are artists and we're incredibly important. And it's would be silly to get as upset as we often do about the quality of a note.
Well, let's talk about what stops people from allowing their gifts to come forward.
What stops them? Oh, they mm-hmm. do. And it's all the voices that they hear. When I, the most common, because I deal with this all the time, these people whose voices were shut down, their artistic gift was shut down, and I'm just firing it up again. And it's like going into somebody's shed and starting up a car they haven't used in forever. You always find these wonderful finds, these great things of like, oh my God, this is so cool. And it really is rediscovering great parts of them. The most common one that I hear is, and you might have this one, you might recognize it, middle school choir teacher is by far the most common shutdown trigger. It's amazing. And these people weren't even, you know, these are not even singers, but these are people who you ask them what you ask them to go back and take them through. And so many of them were told at some point by a choir teacher, and it's usually during the middle school years, and there's some biological evidence to indicate that that has to do with the hormones and oxytocins that are running around between the ages of 12 and 22. But in middle school especially, if a choir teacher or a person who is respected or feared or loved tells this person that they are not, that they don't have a whole lot of talent and that they should be quiet, or that they don't deserve to be someplace, that's an incredibly common experience for people. And there are some people who don't take that in. There are some people who say, well, screw you, I'm going to sing anyway. And that would have been me up and down all day long. But most people hear that and they take it in and they feel it as, this is a warning this person is giving me. And if I'm going to be successful socially in the world, if I'm going to be successful in the world, I need to take this warning and realize that if I sing, that's going to be dangerous for me. And so that's probably the most common reason that people close down their artistic voices.
True for a lot of us. And sometimes it's at different ages. It can even be as a young child at home where you're too loud. Well, this is Chris Danis at Voices of Women, and we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more with Erin McGann.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Change makers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right. Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Tune in each week to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Tune in and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Well, this is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women, and I've been talking with Erin McGann. And Erin, could you give your contact information where people can find out about you? I know you have a lot of music and CDs out there, too.
Right. Best way to get me is through my website, Erin at erinmcgann.com, and their contact pages on there. And various pages just for regular folks, and also I do a lot of service work and collaborative work with other musicians in the area, artists in the area, through that network. But also, because I'm the music director at Seattle Unity, I work with a lot of other music ministries around the country, and we share resources. So there's a resource page up there, too, that has all kinds of great free material that these spiritual communities share back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about this because your subject at our workshop at the conference is about art as service. So let's talk about that idea of bringing art into service for others.
Mm-hmm. It's essentially part of a balance. Not every artist needs to move necessarily in the you should serve others direction. So when I work with people, that's really sort of that's the foundational. Now, I believe that for most artists I've ever worked with who are stuck or are in a place where they're frustrated and they feel like they're not either selling or they're not getting as many gigs as they want to get, and they're feeling a feeling of frustration, that the key to working through that is by the connection to service. And service is a really scary word because many of the artists that I talk to are trying to make a living doing it. And when I say service, they think it means doing things for free. And they think it means devaluing what they're doing. And there are other artists who have an attachment to this kind of 19th century romantic idea of what art is. And of the artist, in order to be an artist, you have to be totally free of any concern for what people will think, or you're supposed to only get things from inside yourself and not really, you're not supposed to care what the audience thinks. And there are several types, especially certain types of arts, lean into this kind of romantic era European model of what the arts are, which is a really, really tiny slice of what arts can be. But that element of service, we deal with it in a lot of different ways, but essentially it means caring about the people that you're trying to communicate with. And some artists like to navel gaze, and that's a beautiful thing to do for a short period of time. But if it doesn't move outwards, if it doesn't touch someone outside yourself, even if you think that person is your God, like there are many cantorial soloists in Jewish tradition for whom they are taught that God is the audience, that no one else is the audience, God is the audience. But even that represents coming out of the self, coming out of the self-obsession and thinking outwards, because the art is essentially a communication. It is not just an expression. When you think about people who are obsessed with the idea of art as expression, it's always coming out of me. The real point is it's got to be a balance, because it's a communication. So it's got to be a balance between something coming out and me and something coming in. I've got to care about these people. And that's especially true in live performance art. When you can see their eyes, it's incredibly important to take that connection in. So some people do it by volunteering. They give their art for free in certain circumstances. That's a beautiful way to do it, and that can get you jump-started a great deal. But even if they're not doing it for free, the idea of I'm going to be serving an audience, I'm going to care what they think, I'm going to actually commit to communicating with them means I have to change what I'm doing as an artist. I have to see what the need is, not just what my need is to I want to be heard and I want to be watched, I want to be seen and validated, but I want to know what this person needs in their life, and I'm going to change how I do my art and what I do. Because I want to meet that need, not just because I need to be seen or known or revealed. Everybody needs to be seen and known and revealed, but this is like the next step of how I work with artists.
And it's taking ourselves out of ourselves. And when you have that kind of purpose, it just makes it more impactful for everybody else, but even impactful on your own life, more satisfying.
Much more satisfying. It also makes you more robust. So I'm sure you've met artists who it seems like they're very, very sensitive to criticism, or it seems like they're there's just maybe negativity around around themselves. There's a lot of critical inner voices going on, or they're angry at people. Like that editor should have done blank, 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 blank. And a lot of that negativity has to do with really not listening to that other people that we're trying to serve, to our audience, not listening for what's going on the outside.
Mm-hmm. Well, and let's just in our last minute here, let's talk about how art expands human consciousness.
Mm, That's beautiful. So my personal foundational beliefs is that when I do this art and when I try and expand outside of what my previous idea was, right, when I try to connect with somebody outside of myself, that's moving the fence posts around my identity. Art, because it's so culturally defined, and it's defined in time and space and demographic, becomes a part of my identity. And if I just have to spend my time guarding that fence, like 10 years ago, I was like, rap music is terrible. I hate rap music. I'd never use rap music. I'm never going to like rap music. And I was just so sure of that. But intellectually, I knew, you know what? What if I applied this idea of artistic expansion as a part of spiritual growth, as a part of this is not just going to, and I had good reasons for hating rap music. I really had them, and I had them down, and I knew I could tell you all of them. And, you know, nothing flat. They just came right out of my mouth. And then moving those goalposts, I suddenly started to be able to see, first off, it's not all the same. Secondly, if I don't open myself to this genre a little bit more, I'm going to be closing myself off to more and more and more of human society and making myself more and more relevant, more and more irrelevant, less and less understanding of what's going on in the world. So that's one of the ways that it expands human consciousness. And then just the exploration of each particular art, because it very much like religion, it's half is what we're seeing now, and half is what we're making up and doesn't exist yet. So that's where the brain is constantly looking into the future, constantly looking into what happens if I mix these two things together? What would happen? So it's always a hypothetical, and in that way, it's just fun. It's just a fun, creative thing to do. And I think worship is fun in the same way. Thinking about spirituality is fun. Thinking about physics is fun. Thinking about all these things that don't currently exist, but unlike other animals, we can look into a place that doesn't exist and imagine something in there. And I think that's the fundamental way that we expand our consciousness from piece to piece, not just imitating what we're seeing from other people, which is a huge learning. That's the fastest way we can learn is imitation, but that ability to look into something and see something that doesn't quite exist yet.
Well, that's great. So it was wonderful to talk with you today, Erin.
Thank you. It's been fun to talk to you.
Yeah. And, everybody can check out your workshop at Woman Wisdom Saturday, February 14th. Make Me an Instrument, Artists in Service. And that's just, you know, makes for artists just having a real true purpose in their life and serving humanity.
Yeah, so we're going to see artists there who bring their stuff.
Yes. Yep. Okay. So I want to, again, remind people to check out the conference. We've got early bird specials through the end of December, one particular one for Jean Bolin coming up Monday, December 1st, and lots of variety of workshops with presenters like who I had today, Jelena and Galena and Erin. And remind people about the Woman Wisdom book. That it's a compilation I put together of many, many voices of the feminine. It's a great holiday gift to consider to give to people in your life. And actually right now, if people buy a book between now and December 15th, I'm donating money to purchase feminine hygiene kits to take with me to Cambodia in January. We're building a school there, and we're going to take these feminine hygiene kits for the girls there. They don't have these supplies. And so if you buy a book, I will be purchasing a kit to take with me. So it's time to close. And I'm so glad you were with us today, and have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, Radio with Chris Stainis.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Listen to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com/listen. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet yoandrew at andrewtweetgeo. Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at yoandrewnts.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
If you look on the back of a GLaOS dressing label, you'll see one taste and you're hooked for life. And you know what? That's the truth. I love this stuff. Try mixing the Caesar dressing with broccoli and sunflower seeds for a simple and delicious salad. Visit GLaOSCafe.com and order your dressings online. That's GLaOSCafe.com.
Always inspiring and uplifting, Brenda Thine spreads love and light wherever she goes. Enlightening, empowering, and encouraging readings, Brenda connects with your guides, angels, fairies, and loved ones who have crossed over to provide you with the highest guidance possible to enable you to live your highest truth and maximize your potential. Always light-filled, a session with Brenda will have you feeling wonderful, centered, and ready to take on anything. Schedule your session now at BrendaThine.com. That's Brenda, T-H-Y-N-E.com.
Get sophisticated with David and Philip Zarza. David and Philip touch on topics such as human potential, spirituality, pop culture, and purposeful living. Experience an insightful reading from David on what the universe has in store for you, or reconnect with a departed loved one. Philip can look into an issue or anything else you may be dealing with. Go to getsophisticated.com. That's SOPHISTIGAYTED.com or call 206-420-8660.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Pat. I know you've heard my friend and colleague, John G. Sutton, on my show. Well, guess what? He is now going to be a regular each month. I know many of you have experienced John live on air and how absolutely incredibly accurate he has been. So guess what? He's going to be joining us every month. For those of you that want to find out more about John and schedule your amazing session, go to psychicworld.net. Don't forget to stay tuned and tune in for John G. Sutton on the Dr. Pat Show every month.